Now, this is a very special weekend for all of us, not just because we are commissioning, consecrating the new building, not just because we are commissioning some of the leaders, which we will do in a little bit. But today, this weekend, is actually the Feast of Shavuot. Everyone say Shavuot. So what is the Feast of Shavuot? In Leviticus chapter 23, you find that God has instituted a number of feasts of the Lord. Okay, this is not man-made feast. This is God saying that this is what you need to do. And one of them, of course, you know, is Passover, right? You know, that will be a feast known as a Feast of Passover. But the other one is the Shavuot. And what the Shavuot is it is the historical event that prefigured what we call Pentecost, right? As Christians, we call the Pentecost. Now, why is it so called? You see, in Hebrew, the word Shava means seven. Right? And Shavuot, Ot is like plural. So Shavuot means sevens. Now the reason it is so called is because in Leviticus 23, it says that you are to count seven sevens, which is 49 days or 7 weeks, from the day after the Passover to arrive at the date of the Shavuot. Right? And it is the day where people will bring the first fruits to the Lord. It is also the day that many believe the day which God gave the law on Mount Sinai to Moses and to all the people of Israel. So that is a very significant event. But there is actually a second reason why they call it Shavuot. Because again, in Hebrew, the word Shavuot sounds like the word Shavuah. And Shavuah means oaths or vows. You see, what happened would be that every 3 years or so, the people will renew the vows that they made to God. So today, when all of you answered together, it's really good. In some ways, you are renewing a vow that you make to God. You're saying, God, I want to follow you and you alone. I mean, the road is not always easy. Sometimes it gets bumpy. Sometimes there are doubts, there are struggles, there are challenges in a way. But you're renewing a vow and say, God, I will follow you. You will be my God and we will be your people. So this Shavuah is not just a season of Pentecost, it is also a season of renewing our covenant relationship with God. God is very concerned with that. And every few years or so, new people will come in who were not there at the beginning. Now today we stand at a point, 40 years from the time when the Holy Spirit really first fell and broke out in Church of Our Savior. In 1978, over at Prince Charles Crescent, when a small group of people were worshipping in a small church, the Holy Spirit of God came upon them. And my, oh my, you know, I mean, everything just began to happen at that point of time. And that's why you're here today. But friends, 40 years have passed. And in the Bible, 40 years will be one generation. In every generation, there must rise up men and women, young men and young women, who will come to the Lord and say, God, we are here to make our commitment anew with you. So today, on the day of Pentecost, this is what we are here to do. Right? This is a day, not just about a new building. This is a day about you. You are God's building project. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Chronicles chapter 17, when David had settled into his kingship, now you know, David began his life as a young shepherd boy. Somehow, God saw it right and fit to raise this young man up because of his faith, because of his commitment, because of his character. God raised him and made him into a king of all Israel. This young man, who some people said, you cannot do it, you're just a boy. But God believed in him. And he believed in God. And because of that partnership, he rose up to prominence. He became the king of all Israel. As he settled down, after the wars were fought, after the different places were conquered, he settled down and he began to look at his, by then, pretty good life. He looked at his own life and said, you know, I'm living a pretty good life. In fact, he says in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, he says, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar. Now what is cedar? Cedar is a very expensive, high quality kind of wood, right? Back in those days, they didn't have concrete. So he would say, look at my house. It's a house of high quality cedar. But the ark of God, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it dwells in a tent, curtains, under tent curtains. Why? Because you know, as you travel around the wilderness, the ark of covenant was kept in what is known as the tent of meeting, right? It was just a little tent. Now David, he was not like any other young king. He was a king who who desire to honor God. He looked at this thing and said, this is not right. I do all these things for my own life. I put in all my effort, my energy, my time. I invest in the things that I desire. But look at God. You know, this is a picture of some of our lives. If you look in your own life today, and you look at the time and the energy and the effort that you invest in all the things that suit you, your social life, you think about your studies, you think about your ambition, you think about your entertainment, the games that you play, for example, right? You think about all the things that you do, and then you look at where God is kept in your house. If you had a heart of David, you would say, this is not right. And David was exactly right then. He said, I live in this great big house of cedar, but God, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, it dwells under 10 curtains. This is not right. I am going to do something about it. I am going to honor God. I'm going to build a house for God, and I'm going to build a house of God. And that was David's desire. He told Nathan, this prophet, you know, I'm going to do this. Nathan thought, well, that sounds like a good idea. So go ahead and do that. I trust that this is your desire today. That you're not just a Christian who's coming to church to suck things out, right? That you want to God's blessings, you know, you want to have all these nice things that come along with a Christian and loving community. But somewhere deep in your heart, if you are a real Christian, then it must be your desire to honor God. Can you say amen? Amen? To honor God. Not men. God Himself. Well, so this is David's desire. But you know how it is like. Sometimes, do you receive gifts that you don't want? Have you ever experienced this when someone give you things you don't want, right? Like when I was growing up as a boy, my parents would sometimes buy me gifts. Like, past year questions, revision book. I said, look, I don't, this is you want, okay? This is not what I want, right? Do you get stuff like that? My mom would get me clothes that I don't like to wear, you know. I mean, she thinks I look nice in it. I'm very picky about, no, this feels terrible, you know. Sometimes we get stuff that we don't want, but the person who gives us wants to give it. Well, David wanted to give God a house. But what did God think about it? Well, that very night, that same night that David said, I'm going to build God a house, God spoke through Nathan and told David exactly what he thought about the whole idea. And it says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. It says, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord. This is what God says. You shall not build me a house to dwell in. Get this? You will not build me a house to dwell in. But I have, you know, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time I brought up Israel, even to this day. I've gone from tent to tent, from tabernacle to tabernacle. Wherever I have moved with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? So you see, even though God eventually condescended, acceded to David's request and desire to build a house, in the first instance, God's idea is that he does not dwell in a house made of cedar. Right? He asks, have you built me a house of cedar? No. God does not dwell in houses made of mortar and stone and concrete and steel. That is not the house of God. And right here, you get a clue to it. What kind of house does God really live in? Just as we're thinking, we built God this grand building. The Bible tells us that God is in fact looking for a different kind of house. Now, David, as it turns out, could not build the building because he was a man of war. God says, your hand has too much blood on it. Your son Solomon will build the house. So David passes on now. His son Solomon becomes the king, and he builds the temple on the land that David purchased for Arauna. Right? He builds it. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, we are told that the work is finally complete. They received their TOP, alright? Their occupancy permit, just like what happened to us. Now you can move in. And Solomon, he began to bring all the gold, the silver, the gemstones, the precious stones, the treasure that his father had provided, had prepared for the temple. You know, God desires us to prepare something for him. And David, even though he could not build it, he prepared his treasure for God. No, just this week, some lady heard that, you know, we are looking for a menorah for our prayer room. Room 402 on the level 4 is actually our prayer room, right? Because, you know, this is going to be a house of prayer for all nations. Amen? Amen. You know, the Bible says the house of God, the temple of God, is to be a house of prayer for all nations, right? So we want to have a prayer room in this one. For, and I say, you know, it would be nice to have a menorah there. This lady came and she brought a beautiful golden menorah, you know. I mean, it's not, I don't know if it's real gold. I didn't go and scratch it. But, you know, it looks like it's gold. Very beautiful, expensive, right? And she gave a nice shofar. You know, I thought about that and I just, yeah, that's just like what the people did. They brought the treasures they had to give to the Lord in order to honor God. So, as young people, you may not have much to give right now. You might think that way. But bring your best to the Lord, right? Give God the best. Don't give God the leftovers. Don't give God the stuff that you don't want, right? Don't give God what you wouldn't give to someone dear to you. Give God your very best. So this place is now furnished. The temple is now furnished. And all the people came. So now the people gathered together. They brought the Ark of the Covenant, which represents, what does it represent? The presence of God, right? So the Ark of the Covenant, they brought it all the way up. Now, before they could do this, the priests had to sanctify themselves in order to carry the presence of God. In order to carry the holiness, the glory of God, you have to be sanctified. To be sanctified is to be set aside, right? To say, I'm committed. This is what I want to do. You're not perfect. Sanctification doesn't make you perfect. It simply says you're set aside for this. They set themselves aside to carry the presence of God. They brought it up to the temple and they entered the temple. And when they had placed the ark in the most holy place, right? In the holy of holies, the Bible says, all the people came together. They started to play their tambourine, blow the trumpets, you know, and they raised up their voice as one united congregation. They lifted up their voice and they sang the song. The Bible gives us the words of the song. Ki tov ki le'olam hasdo. That's Hebrew, which translated means, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. Well, you know this. Okay, let's try this. Okay. For He is good and His mercy endures forever. So you know this song, right? This is a song that we sometimes sing. And here's the thing, you see. As they began to sing this song, as they began to sing, Lord, for You are good and Your mercy endures forever. That day, as they were consecrating that building, the building that God did not ask for, but God amazingly condescended. You know, that's the amazing thing about God. Sometimes, something might not be the perfect will of God, but because He loves you so much, do you realize that sometimes He's willing to come down to our level and somehow work with us? Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's not what many people think God is like. They think God is this unbending, you know, angry old man. No, God is a loving Father, just as your Father loves you. Amen? So what happens was, on this day, as they sang the song, they lift up their voice. The Bible says, something happened. The cloud of God's glory began to fill the temple. Right? The cloud of the whole place was just saturated. God's presence became tangible in that place. The Shekinah glory of God. The tangible presence of God. You could feel the glory of God in that place. It filled the sanctuary that very day. Today, is this your desire? Is this what you want? Is this what you want, young people? Is it? This is what we want, isn't it? I mean, we don't just come to church to play games. We come here because this is where we are hoping to meet God Almighty, the glory of God. Amen? Sanctify yourselves. God, I give myself wholly to You. Yeah, there are many things in our lives. Your friends, you know, your interests, your hobbies, stuff that you love, people that you love, boyfriend, girlfriend, all these things. But you come to God and say, God, I push all these things aside because You are more important than any of them. And you begin to say, God, You are good. your mercy endures forever. You know, when they sang that, the glory of God came down. And this is what we're going to do, right? We're going to sing the song because we have the song. We know the words of the song. The Bible tells us the song, right? So we're going to stand together. We're going to sing the song. And as we do, maybe the desire of your heart that God's presence will come in this place. Can you do that? Can you raise your heart to God? Forget about the people to your left, to your right. Forget about your friends for the moment. All right, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Forget all of that. Right now, this is God's time. You came this whole week. You spent hundreds of hours this week doing everything else. Now, you're here and say, God, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. As we pray, the song, the melody might be different, but I pray that the desire is the same. Right? Shall we sing the song?
You are good. You are good. You are good. Your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good.
Father, this is the desire of our hearts, Lord. I pray for every young man and every young woman here that there will be a purity of worship in their heart, Lord. That you will strip out every other thing that contaminates our worship for you, Lord. You will sanctify each one of us. That the passion of God will burn pure and will burn bright in each one of our hearts. Today, Father, I pray all across this room, Father, will your glory come right now, Lord? Will you fill this place, fill every heart with your presence, God? Let it be a powerful, transformative presence, God. Whether they are young or maybe they are growing up a little bit more, Father, may we not be too wise to be changed by you, Lord. So, Father, I pray today as we humble ourselves and we sing, God, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, come and fill this church. Fill this youth group, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Okay, we're not done yet, okay? This is a very special day. Now, in the last few years, we have been spending time to empower, to really train you up. Our statement was KPI. You know, K for knowing the Word of God. Because many people actually don't know the Word of God. They look like they're Christians. But the fact of the matter is when push comes to shove, when the rubber meets the road, actually they don't know the Word of God. We wanted you to know the Word of God better. Now, we're not perfect, but at least we hope in the past 2 years you understood something about your covenant relationship with God, about your purpose in God, about God's love for you, and about being a missional community. We spend our time doing this so that you would have a more comprehensive understanding of God's will in your life. And then, we also did a lot of other stuff. We spent our time going into the neighborhood to show compassion, to pursue kingdom values. Because kingdom of God is not just about talking. It's about being, right? You're not just people here who talk about God. We're about people who actually pursue God's values in our lives and in our community. So we did all sorts of things. Now, to be sure, are we there yet? No, we are not there yet. We can be honest about that. But we can say with Paul in Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained. I've not attained it. Or am already perfected. For sure we are not perfected. But Paul says, I press on. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are pressing on. Okay? We are pressing on. This is serious. We are pressing on. Say, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Guys, we are after the highest prize of all. We are not just looking for a promotion or good grades. These things are good. They are nothing compared to the highest prize of all. That is what you and I are after. Now listen, sometimes you are in the world. Sometimes the temptation of the world is great. The distraction of the world is even greater. And some of you are led or may be misled into all these other pursuits. Today, as we renew our covenant, we are fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We are saying, God, you know, I got to reset this thing. I'm coming back. I'm coming for you, Lord. Amen. We are coming here. We are running after God. So, we are now pressing on into the eye to make an impact in our communities. Now some people say, but we're not ready yet. Or maybe the time is not. You know, in John chapter 4 verse 35, Jesus says, do not say, there's yet 4 months to the harvest. For I tell you, right now, the fields are already white unto harvest. You know, sometimes, there are Christians who are always praying for revival. You know, year in, year out, event after event, let's pray for revival. You know what? I don't quite think of revival like this. I think of revival a little bit like surfing. Okay? Now, let me be honest. I've never surfed in my life. Okay, surfing in the internet doesn't count. Okay? But I've never surfed. Okay, some of you also surf internet, right? All of you. But I'm talking about surfing in the ocean, alright? But I've read, and I understand that people who surf, they are looking for the big one. Okay? Everyone say the big one. Okay, what is this big one they're looking for? Well, you see, you can go out there, you know, you're out on the ocean and you're waiting for waves. Sometimes you get all these puny little waves, you know, like that, right? But sometimes you're in the right place and you're at the right time and the big one comes along, right? And you catch the big one. When you catch the big wave, that monster of a wave, you get up there and you start probably the surf run of your lifetime. You keep going and going and going. If you're good, you keep going. Right? If you're not so good, you get wiped out. But you're good, you keep going and going. I mean, there's nothing like it, I'm told. Right? Now, revival is a little bit like this. You can't tell when the wave is coming. You can't make the wave come. You cannot determine the shape of the wave in each of your lives. None of us can do that. But what does the surfer do? Does he sit there and please send the wave? No. A surfer gets ready. You see? A surfer gets ready. The point of this is, when a surf comes, the big one comes, you are ready. And what the surfer does, he looks out in the ocean. Right? Maybe from a distance, he sees what looks like a little swell. It's not the big one yet. But he's looking at it, he's thinking, you know what? This looks like it might be the big one. And he gets on his surf. He starts paddling out with all his might to meet the wave. when he gets out there, and one of those fine days, he will get out there, and that little swell is going to grow up and bigger, and that will be the big one. You see, revival is like this. Many people are sitting around waiting for revival to come, but they're not ready. So when the revival comes, you know, who knows? God knows how many big waves have come and gone, and nobody caught it. Because our generations were all too busy pursuing something else. Sometimes the big one comes, and, you know, my daughter was in Tokyo. You know, Tokyo is well known for having earthquakes. So several years ago, there was one very big earthquake. So I got concerned. So I called her. Couldn't get her for a long time. So I thought something might have happened. Then finally I called her. I said, you know, what happened? Are you okay in this earthquake? She said, huh, what happened? I just woke up. I didn't even know there was an earthquake. Right? You know, one of the biggest earthquakes for so many years. And she slept through the whole thing. The fact of the matter is that God has been sending earthquakes of revival to the church. But because we are too lukewarm, our young people have not risen up. We have been too concerned with things of the world. We have been too caught up with the pursuits of those other things. We could not catch the wave. And that's why until now, there's never been another revival like that of the 1970s. Friends, this is your turn. You might be young, but this is your turn to catch the wave. And right now, I'm telling you, it's not 4 months from now. Right now, out on the ocean, on the horizon, there is already a swell. The question is, are you ready? Are you going to be the one who says, God, I'm going to get serious about this and start paddling out to meet God in that ocean and to catch that big one? And when you do, if you do, it will be the ride of a lifetime. The serve of a lifetime. Friends, this is what revival actually is. I've had the opportunity in my life to see the revival of the early days. Some of you were not born at that time. But friends, your turn is coming. And it is here now. Now is your time. You cannot afford to miss that. So when God sends a wave, and I believe the wave is already here now. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a birthday party for kids in our church, Coos Kids. And all these children came. Two of the boys who came, they accepted Christ. You know, praise God. And then they went back. Now, the mother who sent them would not come in. She would just drop them. She would sit around outside, you know, because she's not a Christian, a Buddhist. She would just drop them and, you know, last week, the mother accepted Christ. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had someone walking out there in the trade atrium after the service. One of our church members moved by God and said, you know, well, why aren't you a Christian? Do you want to be a Christian? Just guy out in the atrium, not even evangelist, just ask the question, do you want to be a Christian? The guy says, yes, right there in the atrium, prayed and accepted Christ. You know, God is doing this stuff I'm hearing almost every day, right? All kinds of stuff. But you know why? Some people don't see it. You're not out in the ocean. See, you're sitting in a beach somewhere, looking at your navel, maybe looking at your toes, right? And you miss the wave that is coming. Something great is happening. Don't miss it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss it. Okay? They say, strike while the iron is hot. You know this, alright? The world today is full of Christians whacking the iron with all their might after the iron has gone cold. A bit of a waste of time and energy, isn't it? But now, strike while the iron is hot. I think this is God's special and I would say divine timing, what sometimes people call kairos, right? A timing for us. Now, we're not simply going to go out there in your own strength, okay? You might drown in that surf. Oh no, we are going to go out in the power of God. God himself will send a wave, but God will also help you to catch the wave. Turn to your other neighbor and say, God will help you. Now David understood something about God. He knew that the true secret to success as a king was proximity with God. You had to stay close with God, alright? If you allow yourself to drift away, as it sometimes happens in your lives, whether it's because of your studies, your academic pursuits, or because of your friends or your hobbies, sometimes these things drag you away. Now, when you go away a little bit, you're not going to feel it, but when you go far enough, one day, you're just going to trip up and you wake up and realize, God is so far away. Now, David, he knew this. He knew that the secret was to stay close to God. And his plan was, well, I guess I'm going to build God a house right next to my house. Okay, that was his plan, right? I mean, literally, that was his plan. We're going to build God a temple right next to the palace, pretty much. He bought this piece of land from Arauna. And he writes this Psalm 84. He says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 days without you. You see, he knew this. He knew that the secret to being successful is to stay near to God. So you see, he had a plan. Okay, we're going to build this right next to God. Build God's house right next to mine. Now, I already mentioned it earlier. The real house of God is not built of mortar and concrete. It's not built of cedar wood or steel bars. That's not what God's kingdom. Now, Solomon, when he built that temple, even he knew this. After they were consecrating, Solomon began to pray a long prayer. In that prayer, he asked this question. He says, but will God indeed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. You know, they didn't call Solomon a genius, wise man for nothing. He had something up here, alright? He looked at this building, you know, I just built this. How can the handiwork of a man contain God Almighty, the creator of the universe? I mean, it's absurd, isn't it? Solomon was a wise man, alright? He's thinking, you know, that can't be. Will God really dwell in this? How much less this temple which I have built? Now, God already told David that I don't dwell in this kind of houses, right? So this question would not be answered for another 1,000 years. It would not be answered for another 1,000 years. So you fast forward 1,000 years. Now, you're in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we're looking at the last words of Jesus in that Gospel. Jesus said to the believers then, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now remember what I was saying. You can't just go out there and try and catch the wave in your own strength. You might just drown. So Jesus was telling the, look guys, wait in Jerusalem. Some days, they went to Jerusalem, they waited. They were waiting. Lots of people in Jerusalem. Because it happened that that day that they were waiting in Jerusalem was a day of Shavuot. Just like this weekend. On a day just like this, the believers, 120 of them, they were gathered probably near the southern steps of the temple in a place called the upper room. And they came together a little bit afraid, but they were waiting. Maybe they were waiting for that swell. They were waiting for the big one. Maybe they were singing that song, you are good, your mercy endures forever. Maybe they were worshipping God. Maybe they were crying out for God's presence and the proximity of God. They came together. And as they sang, you are good, your mercy endures forever. Maybe that was the song they sang that day. God's glory came down once again. Just as it came down in the time of Solomon, filling the temple with a cloud that morning in the upper room as they gathered. Once again, on the day of Shavuot, the Spirit of God came down. And you know what? They themselves became the living stones that built the temple of God. It was no longer the beautiful temple built with marble stones that was built. But that was finished by then, alright, by Herod. But now, God was about to do something new. God was building a new temple with living stones. People just like you and me who came to God and said, God, we will sanctify ourselves. We will wait for you. And they were waiting. And you know what? That day, their big one came. The Holy Spirit of God came like a fire upon each one of them. But not just on their heads. Their hearts burned with a passion for God. a passion that I hope every one of you will experience at least once in your life. But this is not the kind of passion that you will saunter in and get. This is the kind of passion that you must say, God, I really want this. In fact, I want it so much, I'm willing to give up everything else. I'm willing to sell all that I have to purchase this one pearl of great price. If you have that today, I believe God is going to come into your hearts. I believe you will receive the fire of Pentecost today as well. So this is why we are changing our logo. Now it was empowered. This is what we are going to believe God. God is going to empower every single one of us with His Holy Spirit for the purpose of God's work. Amen? Some of you might be thinking, wow, that's a lot of stuff to do. Why do we need to be empowered? Why do we need to catch this big wave? Why do we need to be found in God's revival? Once a generation revival. Well, you know the answer to this, because in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Will you say that? Witnesses. You will be God's witnesses. You. Not me, right? I mean, of course, me too, but every single one of you, you are going to become God's carrier of that glory. You are going to be the container of that power of God. The power that with one word created the whole universe, that's cast the stars and the moon in their places. That power, the power of salvation, is going to be in you. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's why today's service is special. You see, today we are not just doing the usual stuff, right? Today we are asking God to do this one more time. He did it before. He condescends to us. We are not Jerusalem. We are not Jews. We are outsiders who have been grafted in, but we have now become the children of God. But we are asking God, will you condescend to us one more time? Hear the genuine, heartfelt cry of our hearts. We say, God, fill us one more time. This is what we're here to do today. We're going to do this by first praying for all the ministry leaders, the cluster pastors, the cell leaders. We're going to pray for you because it is right for us to pray for them. And then after that, you're next. Okay? We're going to pray that God will come and fill every one of you. I'm going to ask the ministry leaders to stand first. Can you stand? Cluster pastors, ministry leaders, all kind of leaders. If you are a leader, could you just stand first? Assistant leader also can stand, right? Can you just stand? Because we want to see where you are. Okay, don't be bashful about it. We had a lady came in crutches in our earlier service. She stood up, okay? So, if you are a ministry leader, can you just stand up? Anyone here? Yeah, cell leader, ministry leader, assistant cell leader, right now, just stand up, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, anyone else? You are a leader in ushering, leader... Whatever place you are, okay? This is serious business, right? We're going to do a transaction with God right now. And we're going to ask God, guys, take a good look at these people around you right now, okay? These are your leaders. I want you to take a good look at them because now you're going to stand up and you're going to lay hands on them and we're going to cry out to God with all our hearts. Can we do that? I mean, let's cry out to God and ask that God would touch them with an anointing that only God can give, right? So all of us now stand up, look at all these people, lay your hands on them. You know, don't worry, it's not your hands, okay? It's God using you. So just lay your hands on these people and we're going to ask God to do something. Just begin to pray for them, wherever you are, okay? Begin to ask God earnestly, okay? No nonsense, no wasting of time. This is a serious deal. We're asking God, pour out your anointing, pour out your Holy Spirit, pour out your power, pour out your glory on each one of them. Lord, we pray, hear us right now. Look at all these leaders who are standing in your midst. They are young, but Lord, no one is too young to be used by you, Lord. So, Father, we pray right now, pour out your Holy Spirit on every one of them, every single one, every young man, every young woman, God. Give them your anointing. Let there be a passion, a fire of God's passion that burns fervently in each one of their hearts. Lord, let there be a sanctification. Lord, let them turn away from everything that distracts, that sidetracks, everything that tempts them. But God, we pray their eyes will be fixed on you right now. God, as we pray, come on church, help me to pray for them, right? Lift up your voice, cry out to God, each one of you. Don't be shy. Let's just ask God and ask God to hear our cries. Oh Lord, condescend to us, Lord. Hear and have mercy on us. You are good, Lord. Your mercy endures forever. And God, right now, in your mercy, pour out your spirit as you have promised, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord. We want you, God. We need you. Every one of these leaders, Lord. We know they struggle. We know they have challenges. But God, give them power to be victorious, Lord. To be victorious in every aspect of their lives. Lord, we pray that you use them, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In the book of Joel, there was a prophecy given a long, long, long time ago. And this is what that prophecy says. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, that will be you, shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. These are the days. I'm going to ask now all the leaders to turn around. Now you pray for everyone else around you, okay? Now we're going to pray for everyone else. You cry out to God. Ask God to pour out His Holy Spirit upon you. That His gifts will be upon you. His power will be upon you. So now leaders, be a leader. Start praying for the people around you, alright? Just start praying for everyone. Every one of you, just cry out to God. If you're standing there by yourself, you also cry out to God and ask that God will fill you, Lord. Father, we turn our eyes on you right now. Father, this is your promise, Lord. We are holding this promise up to you and say, God, do it. Lord, do it as Joel prophesied. Pour out your Holy Spirit onto every young man, onto every young woman, Lord, that they too may be sanctified. Father, we pray that they too will receive the gifts of your Spirit. That they too will be anointed by you. And they too will become vessels for your glory, Lord. Every young man, every young woman, Lord, we know they struggle. We know they are fighting. We know they are challenged by the things of the world. But God, right now we pray that you will sanctify them. That your glory will come and consume everything that is not of you. Lord, you will purify them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord. Every young man all across this room now. Every young person all across this room now, Father, we pray, your anointing come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, just as you did, Lord, on the day of Pentecost. Pour out your Spirit as we consecrate ourselves to you, Lord. Fill this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you all across this room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, all across this room. Look at our hearts, God. Look at our hearts as we bear them before you, Lord. Know us. Know the cry and the longing of our hearts, Lord. We are not perfect, God. We struggle, but Lord, our desire is pure. We want you. All across this room right now. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. You know, when Solomon began to pray that God would fill the temple, he prayed all the way to the very end. And then he came to verse 41. This is what verse 41 of his prayer was. It says, "Now therefore, arise, O Lord, to your resting place." Solomon was talking about the throne of God. You see, there was a throne for the king. And this is our prayer today. That God will arise and occupy His resting place and His throne in our lives. In the life of our church, in your lives, in the life of our community, in the life of our very nation itself. This is our prayer. Amen. We're going to ask God to take His place. Right? You say, you and the ark of your strength, let your priests, you are the priest of God, let the priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let your saints rejoice in goodness. We have a song just like this, you know. In fact, today we are choosing all the songs that they sang on that day, because we want God to do what God did on that day. Alright? So we're going to sing this song. Now, when the author wrote this song, he came to this verse, chapter 6, verse 41. And he came to this place where he says, oh Lord, arise to your resting place. And he was a little bit confused. What do you mean, arise to your resting place? So when he wrote the song, he changed it. He wrote, arise from your resting place. But that was because he did not understand this, you see. The resting place is actually the throne of God. We are asking God to ascend His throne. Amen. This is what we're going to do. When we sing this next song, will you ask God to ascend the throne in your own hearts? Amen. Will you do that? Amen. Make it your personal cry to God, your personal prayer to God. Let's sing the song.
Oh, the glory.
Come on, let's lift up our voices.
We love your presence. We your temple. Give you reverence. So arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace as your presence now fills this place.
One more time, alright? Now, I didn't do this in the earlier service, but we are told in the Bible that when Solomon sang this, he actually fell down and bowed before God. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can kneel before God as we renew our covenant with Him. The Bible says his hands were upturned, right? I guess to glorify God. So maybe all you can do that, I mean, you don't have to, you don't want to. But perhaps this is what we can do as we sing this song one more time, right? Just one more time. Oh, the glory. Invite you to ascend the throne of your temple of living stones, Lord. Well, today we consecrate not just a building made of concrete, we are consecrating ourselves to you, Lord. Father, we pray, it is so much our desire to dwell in your presence. This tangible presence of God, Lord, may we never grow tired of it. May we always draw near to you, Lord. So Father, I pray, may your anointing come all across this room right now in your own supernatural way, Lord. May your anointing just come all across this room, and may we respond in faith to you and say yes, Lord, all across this room. We thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we will be an empowered church. Empowered for the purposes of God in our generation, Lord. Empowered to bring the gospel unashamed to those who need it. Empowered to redeem the name and the glory of God in our culture, Lord. Father, we pray, hear our cry and our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You may return to your seats.
As the worship team continues to play, I think it's right for us, as we have been prayed for and been blessed, that we also pray for our senior pastor. Do you think so? Shall we stand? There is so much beauty when the next generation turns our heart to those who have gone before us and leads us. Stretch out your hands. Now, before I lead us to pray, I want you to pray. I want you to spend just 15 seconds praying for our SP, our senior pastor here, okay? Come on, guys, close your eyes. Stretch out your hands and just pray for him. God, we want to lift up our senior pastor, Pastor Daniel, to you. God, we pray that you will help him in his role that he has, that he's here for such a time as this. He's not here by chance. It's given him a vision, your vision, to lead this church. So God, we lift him up to you. We ask that you will help him to lead with a Joshua heart, with a Joshua spirit, that he'll be strong in spirit, that he'll be strategic in thinking, that he's sacrificial in lifestyle, he's servant in posture. God, will you anoint him for this task which you have? God, give him the wisdom to lead. Give him the insight of the times and seasons and the way he will navigate these ways. God, teach him to lead us with that pure heart and clear vision that you want him to have. Give him favor, God, to lead every person in this church. God, we thank you for this person that you have placed in our midst. And God, we are grateful. Help us to hear and obey you in whatever capacity you ask us to do. Help us to follow him. Help us to come behind him in the way you desire. So God, we lift him up to you. Will you heal him completely of every fluid that remnants in his body. And God, we just thank you for this man. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.